Me to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. This being graduation Sunday, the graduates step into a new phase of their life. Life is filled with changes that we have to adapt to. And I suppose our dependence upon God when we look to those new areas that we step on is more important than anything else that we ask God as guidance, what He wants. There is a will and a plan of God for every individual's life and a purpose in every individual's life. And this morning, for time's sake, I'm not going to read this entire chapter. I hope that you don't think that I would ever add to or take away any one thing out of the Scripture. But I am later in the message going to give you the text. But I want you to understand this morning something that is very important and something that needs to be preached in the generation that we're living in. It is possible for the anointing of God to come off a person. Hallelujah. It is possible for someone to be used of God and then fall into a trap where that they feel as though that they are above dependency upon God and get to a place where no matter what you do, God will not speak to you. I've read this chapter 20 times this week. Every time I read it at home and in my office, I jotted down. 20 times I read it. 20 times I read it. And every time that I would read it, my heart would break more than the time before. In this chapter, Samuel the great prophet is dead. Samuel, the one with the horn of oil, that was known to anoint the first king, which was Saul. This chapter, Saul knows that Samuel is dead. You ought to read this afternoon when you go home. It's way better than anything else you'll find on television. And it'll teach you a lot of the lessons of life that you need to learn. Samuel is gone. No prophet for him to turn to. The king. And he goes out to Gilboa and he looks and he sees the Philistines coming in from the north, the south, the east, the west. He's surrounded by them. And he needs a word from God. Then suddenly the Bible says, when Saul inquired in verse 6 of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. The enemy was coming, and it's common in that day when they wanted to know what direction to go, just like these young people today. You'll have to make your mind up. Life won't stand still. You'll have to go some direction. Life will force you in the channel. If you don't choose, life will choose for you. And the kings, when they'd go to battle, oftentimes they'd be surrounded by the enemy. So what they would do is they would pray to God. Sometimes God, through dreams, would give them the battle plan. Sometimes for the Urim and Thummim, we know that those were the two stones that when they would go before the priest would pray and God would give guidance and direction and wisdom. And that's what those words mean. For the guidance of God, the light of God, the enlightenment of God, the wisdom of God. And God would say, go this direction or that direction. And they would know their battle plan. Sometimes God would give the word to the prophet. So here the king is faced with the enemy. And he says, I want you to get me a prophet. There's no prophets left. I want you to get me a priest. There's no priest left. I want you to get a hold of God some way. Find somebody that can touch heaven for me. We're facing an enemy and I don't know what to do. They said, Saul, God's not speaking to you. He said, find me a witch. A woman with a familiar spirit. They said, you've driven all of those out. He said, surely there's one somewhere in the land. And they go down to a place called Endor. He disguises himself and goes into this woman that has a spirit of divination that she can communicate with the dead. Somebody said it's not possible to communicate with the dead. You don't believe your Bible then. She had the ability to communicate with the dead. Hey, you need to understand, the devil has a lot of power. He can do a lot of things. He can do things that will astound the mind of the average person. And he goes into this woman and says, hey, you know the decree of the king. You'll tell on me. You'll kill me. You'll take my life. I can't do anything. He said, I swear to you this day, there's someone that has died that I need to speak to, and I want you to call them up from the dead. He needed to speak to Samuel. Finally, she is convinced that he will do her no harm. So she starts to call up the one that he wishes to speak with. Finally, Samuel appears. She cries with a loud voice, what have you done? You're the king. You've disguised yourself. It's Samuel that you've caught up. Samuel said, why have you disquieted me? Why have you called me up? He said, I need to hear from God. Samuel said, I'm sorry, Saul. God's drawn a line. And God's not speaking to you. Even if I knew, I could not tell you because God's not speaking to you. God has taken His anointing from you and given the power and the kingdom to another. Hey, you better understand something. God doesn't need any of us. He can get along fine without us. And if we don't want to do what God wants us to do, He will take the gifts and abilities that He has given to us and lay them on the shoulders of someone else. Saul had slain his thousands, but David was about to slay his tens of thousands. It is a terrible thing for God to reject a person. It is a terrible thing. How does a man go? I kept asking myself, how does a man go from being anointed the first king over God's people to a place that he has to go to a woman with an evil spirit to try to find out what God wants? But you'd be amazed. The thousands of people in America that will sit in pews all across this country today in churches that have no anointing on them, and they're searching and they want answers from God. So instead of turning to God because they can't hear from God, they look to the horoscope. They look to the psychic. They can't wait to get down to the local Chinese restaurant to see what the fortune cookie has to say. Because it might be their blessed day. They live their life by those that know nothing about God, but those that are possessed with evil spirits. You say, preacher, do you believe psychics have ability? Absolutely. They'll give you answers, but it's not the answer that you need. The best thing that you could do is don't let yourself get in a place where God is not speaking to you. There's nothing worse than a songwriter that God has gifted to write Christian music that gets in a place where God doesn't speak to them. There's nothing worse than a preacher that gets to the place where God doesn't speak to them any longer when they preach the Word of God. There's nothing worse than somebody that comes and sits in a church pew that God never speaks to them. They never hear the voice of God. They never hear the direction of God. Oh, what a terrible way to face knowing that you know you're not right with God and face death without God speaking to you. He said, tomorrow you're going to die. And God isn't speaking to you. He heard nothing. I asked myself, how does a man get in that place? How does someone get in that kind of shape? Well, the enemy's coming in around them. Some of you have been bombarded, you feel, by the enemy. And you feel like, I don't know a way out. Maybe it's because God's not speaking to you. Maybe some of you don't know the direction in your life. And you don't know which way to go with your life. Because God's not speaking to you. I don't expect a lot of shouting in this sermon. But there is a place that people can get where God will not speak to them. And when you reach that place, you hear me and hear me well, you can go to every Christian psychologist and they won't have the answer. You can call every preacher and they won't have the answer. You can find every prophet in the land and they won't have the answer. Because God is not speaking to you. Sometimes the silence of God is the most torturous thing, troubling thing that a person can go through. Why didn't God speak to him? What did he do that had put him in this kind of place? You're never going to believe what God spoke to my heart about. Why God wasn't speaking to him. It's found in the 14th verse. The woman has called up the spirit of Samuel. And the 14th verse says, and he said unto her, what form is he of? In other words, she didn't realize who it was. And she said, speaking of Samuel, an old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Now watch. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. You know something? Scripture never records where Saul ever bowed in his life until this day. When he was anointed captain of the host, if you remember, he'd gone out to find his father's donkeys. And they told him, said, there is a seer. That seer was Samuel. And he'll show you. He's in touch with God. He's a man of God. And he went there. Samuel said, stay the night with me. And he stayed the night. The next morning, even though he knew his father was concerned about him, Samuel said, don't worry, it'll be well with your father. Spend the night. He stayed the night. He ate with the prophet. The next morning, when he got ready to leave, Samuel anointed him captain of the Lord's host. And he prophesied, the spirit of prophecy came upon the prophet. And he prophesied of all the things that Saul was to do. And the Bible says all those things came to pass that day. But you'll read in Scripture when he was anointed captain of the Lord's host, he never bowed. He never thanked God. He never said, Lord, why have you given me this honor? He never recognized God in anything. He just went on his way. They start on the journey. They come upon two men. And suddenly the spirit of prophecy comes upon Saul. And Saul begins to prophesy. After that he had prophesied, those with him said, you're a prophet. But he never bowed. Even after God had given him the spirit of prophecy, he never bowed. He never stooped his face to God and said, God, thank you for allowing me to do what I could not do myself. Samuel comes back to anoint him as king. Anointed as king of God's people. You would have felt surely when he was anointed king, he would have bowed. He didn't bow.
He didn't thank God. He didn't reverence God. He didn't respect what God was doing. Not in the least. He didn't bow. Not when he was anointed captain. Not when he was given the spirit of prophecy. Not even when he was anointed king did he bow. They get ready to go into battle. He calls for Samuel. Samuel doesn't show up. He said, what's the matter with the prophet? Doesn't he know? We need to offer a sacrifice. We're going into battle. Where's that prophet at? Finally, he got restless and tired of waiting. And he says, give me that animal. And he offers a sacrifice himself. God never intended for the king to ever fill the office of the priest. There's only one king that could fulfill the office of the priest, and that was Jesus. God never gave the king that right. God separated the work of the kingdom. The kings were to be dependent upon God. But God never allowed the kings to be the priest. But he took on a job that was not his own. And he took on authority that was not his own. Hey, listen to me. Look right here. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. And especially in the area of authority, don't take what doesn't belong to you. I hear comments constantly. I'll run into people out on the street sometimes and just passing in daily walk of life, and they'll come up and they'll say, I don't understand why you don't do this and why you don't do that. There's a couple in your church, and I don't see why you don't sit down and tell that woman she needs to do this and she needs to do that. I don't have the authority. I don't see why that you don't somehow, some way, get those folks to make their kids do what's right. I'm a preacher. I'm not a parent. I don't have the authority. There are authority lines that you cannot go in and take. God gives you that authority. And there are certain channels that no matter how much you want to go into those areas, you have no business in those areas. Don't take authority that doesn't belong to you. And that's exactly what he did. When Samuel shows up, he's just offered the sacrifice. He said, thou hast done foolishly. He didn't bow. Even when he was told by the prophet, you've done foolish, he still didn't bow. He says, listen, Samuel, look at me now. I'm bowing now. I'm down with my face in the ground now. I'm bowing, Samuel. Look, I need to hear from God. You hear me? Some of you are going to wait too long to bow. Pride's going to ruin it for you. God's trying to speak to you this morning, but you keep putting God off and putting God off, and then one day you're going to want to hear from God. But God's going to say, I'm sorry. I've drawn the line and you've crossed the line. And by crossing the line, I'm not speaking to you anymore. And you're going to leave this world without the anointing of God on you and the power of God on you. Oh, whatever you do, don't get yourself in a place where pride keeps you from bowing before God. It's more than the action of the body. Some of you may be up in years and you're not able to physically bow, but you can bow your head. And I thought, Lord, how many people have I seen that you have blessed them over and over, but they didn't bow? You give them health. You give them a fine family. You give them a home. You give them a good job, but they didn't bow. They didn't want to bow. They did it all themselves. Why to hear them talk? Everything that has been blessed in their life is because of what they've done. You understand? It's the Lord that gives us the power to gain wealth. The prosperity we have, it comes to the health that God gives us, the strength that God gives us. It all God blesses their home with a new family. The sense He gives them children. Greatest blessing of all, they don't bow. Why, no, they use their kids as an excuse to stay out of church. I can't come to church. I've got a baby. You see them pray for a baby. God gives them a baby. And then they say the baby keeps them from coming to church. I thank all three of you for the amen. You better bow and thank God that He's a merciful God and that God don't take your excuse away. God blesses your home and your family gets saved and they all get in. I never understood this. The family gets in. Wives pray for husbands for years. They get saved. They quit coming to church. You didn't bow. What you ought to do is when God saves your husband or your wife, you ought to get down every day and bow and say, "Thank you, Lord, for making my home a Christian home. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on my life. God, you didn't have to be so good to me, but you have been." I see God anoint people in special areas and give them special talents. I work with a lot of preachers and a lot of groups, a lot of pastors. God blesses them. It's unbelievable. God uses them. It's unbelievable. And on stage, they're one thing. Off stage, they're something else. Stood behind a platform one night, getting ready to go out to 6,000 people to preach and follow a group. And I saw a singing group threaten to whip the promoter because he wrote the check for what the contract called for. You hear what I'm saying? And they wanted more money. They didn't know the crowd was going to be that big. And they wanted more money. Well, I'm getting some blank looks. And they said, "We're not going on." I remember the Primitives. This is why I love the Primitives. Reagan Riddle was back with me, and we were just standing there, our mouths open. We couldn't believe it. And by the way, they were paying that group $10,000 that night. $10,000 for one sing. $10,000 for 25 minutes. I looked at them and I said, "I got one for you, boys. You're not worth $10,000, let alone $15,000. He got mad and stomped and spit and finally said, "We'll go on. Give me the check." He slapped the check inside of his briefcase, locked it up, told the bus driver to get on the bus. They were introduced to him. They got up, grabbed those microphones and sang the glory down. But the anointing is gone. Now listen, I'm not picking on singers. I've watched preachers, and you know that I'm telling you the truth. I've watched preachers, God will bless their ministry and they'll start to grow, and all of a sudden, they can't come and shake hands with people. They've got to be escorted on the platform 20 minutes after the service starts. They love the crowds, they can't stand the people. And they start preaching, and folks isn't saying amen, and they, "What's the matter with y'all? You're a dead bunch. What's the matter with you?" Start yelling at the people and screaming at the people. Hey, it's not the people's fault if the anointing leaves the man of God. It's not your fault if I don't pray enough before I get in this pulpit. It's not your fault if I don't live the life and do what's right. Sometimes things are not happening because the man of God, God's not speaking to him. I watch folks come in and if they don't get the recognition that they feel they ought to get, I'm going to another church that'll applaud me for everything that I've done. God's not speaking to you. He didn't bow. I don't need God. I don't need to bow. Let me tell you something. One of these days, the enemy's going to come. And you're going to take for granted that because God's always been there, He'll be right there. And you're going to turn and you're not going to hear Him say anything. And you're going to run to the preacher and the preacher's going to say, I haven't heard from Him. He doesn't have any word for you. And you're going to call up your friends and they're going to say, I prayed, but I don't have any word for you. And you're going to say, what am I going to do? I need to hear from God, and God is not speaking to me. A lot of things in life, folks, I can get along without. But I can't get along without God speaking to me. Oh, hallelujah. I've got to hear Him say, I love you, son. I've got to hear Him say, I'm with you, son. I've got to know when I wake up in the middle of the night and I come into the pulpit that God's saying, I'll be in you and I'll rise up in you and I'll help you preach the Word of God. I've got to know that God's going to speak to us when we come to His house. I've made a few decisions in my life that I regret. Usually every decision that I made that I regretted, it was because I didn't bow before I made it and ask God, what do you want, Lord? What do you want? Now you'd think after preaching 26 years, you would know better than that. But it's slow how the devil works. It's easy how he works us in to a place that he'll say, look around. It's all so logical. It's all fitting together. And this is the right thing. But still, you haven't heard from God about it. Is God speaking to you? If something came into your life tomorrow that God was trying to say something to you, are you in a place where you can hear the voice of God? We need God to speak to us. The less we bow, the less we hear from God. And the more God is troubled with us. Somebody said, how do you succeed in the Christian life? You know, there's three things if you do it. I promise you, you'll be successful in the Christian life. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, do these three things. If you have the ability to read your Bible every day. Every day. I don't care if it's one verse, 10 verses, 10 chapters. Read your Bible every day. There's power in the Word of God. 2, pray. Pray. Every day, talk to God. Bow before the Lord. Tell the Lord how thankful you are for what He's done. Tell the Lord how much you love Him. Tell the Lord how much you need Him. Tell the Lord how you want to go, the direction that He's leading you. 3, attend church. You say, what if I'm not able? God understands if you're not able. And by the way, God knows if you're lying too. If you're able to go to Walmart, you're able to go to church. If you're able to go to your kids' ball games, you're able to go to church. If you're able to go on vacation, isn't it something nobody ever gets sick vacation time? You know why? You make your mind up that if you've got to crawl on that vacation, you're gone. And you'll find out when the anointing starts to leave you Oh God, move this morning. When the anointing starts to leave you, that's the first three things that go. Every time. First is the two things that no one can see. You'll not want to read your Bible. And you'll not want to pray. Because nobody sees and nobody knows when you're praying except God. God's the only one that knows if you're in His Word or not. And then at first, you'll come to church. You're here, but you're not here. You're somewhere else. You start withdrawing. By the way, let me just hit this while I'm on it. The first time you ever meet with me and blame a church for the anointing leaving you is the day that not only God won't speak to you, I won't speak to you. Now, I'm not talking about, hi, how are you today? Good to have you. Good to see you. I have no word from God for you. Oh, I feel God this morning. Why do you say that, preacher? Because Samuel said, listen, even though it's happening, I have no word for you. God's not speaking to you because you've not bowed to God. But look, I'm bowing now. Yes, but the die has been cast. The mind of God is now set. Tomorrow, you're going to die. God is not speaking to you, Saul. Isn't it something that folks get involved in all kinds of sin and it's always the church's fault? Somebody at the church caused me to do that. I'm not serving God because somebody at the church did this and somebody at the church did that. Oh, bless your heart. You're so tender, so fragile. Maybe we ought to put a little ultraviolet light on you every day. Stroke your hair and kiss your cheek and tell you how beautiful you are and tell you that no big bad Christian's ever going to say anything to hurt you again. By the way, tell it to your boss tomorrow morning, too. You mean your boss has never said anything made you mad? You mean Christians are the only ones that's ever done anything to hurt you? Maybe it's not that they're hurting you. Maybe God's not speaking to you. You've got a choice to make, my friend. Listen to God or don't listen to God. But if you don't listen to God, you have to suffer the consequences. You stand together with me all over the sanctuary. Every head is bowed. Brother Howard's coming. We're going to sing this morning. As they come and as he leads us in a verse of song, some this morning, you need to know what God wants. Some you need to hear from God today. Some you know the anointing of God is leaving your life. And you need God to speak to you today. Some you're going headlong to judgment without bowing. And you need to bow today. If you're not physically able to come and bow, you come and stand and bow your head. You come and sit on this altar and bow your head. God has blessed you. All He wants is our reverence. All He wants is our worship. All He wants is our life.